Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of Grits in the Gospel. This is Reverend Katie Griffiths. I am so excited today to share with you our service celebrating All Saints Sunday. We, as I said last week, are switching weeks, so we're a week late celebrating, but with so many of my congregation out last week, we decided to move it to this Sunday. And it is one of the more somber services. And I think that's why I'm so drawn to it. There's so much love and light and hope and goodness in our faith. But there's also times in life where things are hard. And we cannot celebrate the times of joy without sitting with the times of sorrow. And Sundays like today are a chance to do just that. And it makes the rest of those days even sweeter and better. We are coming up on Thanksgiving and then Advent. And those days are brighter and better and lovelier because we first choose to sit with the longest days, the hard days. That reflection of light and love permeates even the hardest days. And so we sit with them today as we remember the saints that have come before us. This is also a service of word and table for my congregation. And it is my hope that you have a place where you can be fed communion around a table with fellow believers. Let us come together now as we worship together. The Lord be with you and also with you. Hear now this litany of the saints as we remember those who have gone on to glory. We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham and Sarah to Paul and Phoebe. Ancestors of the faith, we remember you. We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God. Teachers of faith, we remember you. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who have gone on before us in our lifetime. Family of our faith, we remember you. We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, and parents whose lives ended too soon. Those close in our heart, we remember you. We lift up to you, O God, the names of those who have gone on before us, knowing that they are with your heart forever. As we pray upon these names, we will take a moment to remember, pray, and give thanks for their lives. We celebrate the lives of those who we have named, O God, and lift up many more that were unnamed and yet foundational to our faith. Family of God, we remember you and we honor you. We know you are with us in the spirit of worship, and you will not be forgotten. We give thanks, O God, for all those who have gone on to join you beyond this life. We trust in the hope of resurrection and the promise of new life in Christ. And know that in our grief and celebration, O God, you are with us through it all, and we are not left alone. In the name of Christ, in whom love lives forever, we pray. Amen. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6a speaks of the heaven that believers have to look forward to and our hope for death overcome. Hear now the words of the epistle. When I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. He will be his people's, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are true and trustworthy." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God." Let us now join together in those familiar words as we recite the tenets of our faith in the Apostles' Creed. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today humbled and appreciative of all those saints that laid the foundation of faith and life for us, those that have gone on before us, those who have been a part of our lives, and those whose lives ended before ours began. We thank you for them. We come together today to remember them, to honor them, and to rejoice with you for their lives. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In her book, The Cure for Sorrow, Jan Richardson writes of the sorrows surrounding the death and raising of Lazarus. Receive her words as a blessing this day. Blessing for raising of the dead. This blessing does not claim to raise the dead. It is not so audacious as that. But be sure it can come and find you if you think yourself beyond all hope, beyond all remedy, if you have laid your bones down and your exhaustion and grief willing yourself numb. This blessing knows its way through death, knows the paths that weave through decay and dust. And while this blessing does not have the power to raise you, it knows how to reach you. It will come to you, sit down beside you, look you in the eye, and ask if you want to live. It has no illusions, this blessing knows It is an awful grace to be returned to this world. Just ask Lazarus or the Shunammite's son. Go to Nain, ask the widow's boy whether he had to think twice about leaving the quiet, the stillness, whether he hesitated for a moment before abandoning the place where nothing could harm or disturb. As the risen, if they ask the risen, if it gave them pause to choose this life, not as one thrust into it like a babe, unknowing, unmasking, but this time with intent, with desire. Ask them how it feels to claim this living, this waking, to welcome the breath in your lungs, the blood in your veins, to gladly consent to hold in your chest the beating heart of this broken and dazzling world. Today's scripture lesson is that of the raising of Lazarus in John 11, verses 32 through 44. Hear now the gospel according to John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, take those stones away from my heart. Let your light and your words radiate within me so that all may see your glory. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I don't typically reread books, and very few books make me cry. But movies, those get me. No matter how many times I watch certain films, I get weepy. My Girl, A Walk to Remember, The Holiday, Dead Poets Society, Masters of the Air, all tearjerkers. I can't even read or watch The Notebook. I know I won't survive it after caring for someone with Alzheimer's. But there are two that really get me. One is Schindler's List, the story of Oscar Schindler and the many Jewish children he saved from Nazi-occupied Poland. I haven't seen the movie in years, but every once in a while, a clip of the real Oscar Schindler comes across my social media feed. He was on a TV show years later, And they surprised him with an audience full of the children he saved. I go into that ugly cry, and my nose runs, and it takes me a while to recover. And don't even get me started on Steel Magnolias. The loss of Shelby hits me hard every time I watch it. I do not have amnesia. I know how these stories are going to end. I've seen them. I've cried over them, sometimes on an annual basis. It doesn't begin to ease the sorrow and despair I feel watching these stories unfold. There are some things that are just hard to hold in front of you. There are some things that are unspeakably hard. Loss is hard. Watching others lose someone is really hard. Jesus knows how Lazarus' story is going to end when it begins. Not just that he is going to raise his friend from the dead, but the whole story. He knows that death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And yet his weeping is very real. We see here in Jesus the full human. He is seeing and feeling things that we all feel. From the beginning of his life, he has been the full embodiment of the perfect human. He had to go through all of the things that humans experience to be an example of that perfection we strive for. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus can have empathy and sympathy for us because he has been tested in every respect. He's lived a fully human life. Part of that life is having grief and pain and sorrow. He shows us how to live with it in our verses today. At the first reading of the scripture, we just assume that Jesus is weeping because Lazarus is dead. But I think it's much more than that. I'm sure he's saddened by the loss of his friend. What Jesus knows, though, is that they will be together in eternity. An earthly death will not be the end of their time together. What I think is equally as difficult for him is the sorrow and despair of his friends Mary and Martha. Think about it like that scene in Steel Magnolias. They've just buried Shelby. I cried my eyes out when she died, but the movie's not done with me. And it is the despair and grief of her mother, Malin, that is just as devastating. Think about how we first meet Mary in Scripture. Do you remember the last time we saw Mary at the feet of Jesus? She was sitting with him and learning and growing in her faith. Now we see her at his feet when her faith is being tested, when she's crying out for him. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Lord, if you had just been here, you could have stopped this. She trusted him. She believed he was who he proclaimed to be. And she felt not only sadness for the loss of her brother, but let down by Jesus. It had to be hard to hear. And even the rest of the mourners were questioning things. If this guy could heal the blind, who was a stranger, then why did he not save his friend from death? The text tells us when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He was greatly disturbed and deeply moved. Then we come to practical Martha. Remember her? The one who was worried about all of the practical things that come with feeding a big group of people. She was worried about being the perfect hostess. Now we find her being practical again. Martha lets her practical self guide her disbelief. But who can blame her? She can smell the stench of a four-day-old corpse. She fears it is too late and that her beloved brother is past saving. Take away the stone, Jesus tells them. He knows what he can do. He knows what is already done and what will happen. It has to hurt that his absence has caused the people he loves this much doubt and pain and suffering. Jesus hurts when we hurt. And then he performs the miracle of the raising of Lazarus, his friend. But in a way, he raises Mary and Martha as well. Can you imagine their reactions? Lazarus, come out. There are many times that I wish this very miracle could happen for me. There are times when there are saints in my life that I would love to have back walking this earth. Times when I wish the stone in the cemetery was not already engraved. But there are also times I need resurrecting from the things in my own life that try and kill my spirit. I need the stones that I carry taken away. That is where the hope of this life can be found. Jesus may not be earthbound anymore and able to resurrect people from the dead, but he can resurrect me. He can bring us out of darkness and into the land of the living again. Sometimes I need to hear him say, "Katie, come out." It is the last thing that he says that really hits home for me today in several ways. Unbind him and let him go. It's not enough for us to come out of the tomb that we are in. We have to unbind ourselves and let things go. We have to go. We have to move forward and not look back. What things do you need to unbind yourself from? What are you holding on to that needs to be unbound? What stones need to be removed? Sometimes it's hard for us to do. As a person of faith, as a church, it's easy not to let go of the things that are holding us back, keeping us in the dark, binding us up. But we cannot move forward if we don't release those things. I think at times Jesus still weeps for us. When he sees us hurting and he knows he can help, if only we ask for it, he shows us how. So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus knew that God heard him. He was modeling for us once again the way to deal with grief and suffering and pain because he knows the words of Revelation are true. Even if we mourn our loved ones here on earth, that is not the end. If we mourn those things in life that we need to unbind and move on from, that is not the end. Good things are coming. Letting go may be hard. But it is not the end. That hope is what Mary was calling out for. That hope is what Martha was very practical about. But that hope and the miracle of our faith and the ultimate resurrection of Jesus himself is what we can cling to. He showed the people that day that he raised Lazarus, and then he showed the world on a cross that led to an empty tomb not too long after that. It is that hope that brings us together at the communion table. It is the place where we commune with the saints that came before us and that we let those things come unbound that tie us to our lives of sin and death. The communion table is more than just a remembrance of the Last Supper. It is a time to take away our stones and come out of our tombs to the light and love of fellowship with Christ. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us remember those things. Let us remember the saints that have come before us. Let us unbind ourselves from those things that we need to let go. Let us cry out for the stones to be taken away as we move forward in light and love and hope. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.